We thank you for a time like this. Holy Spirit of God, I pray, Lord, that you will talk to us in what you have in mind. I pray that you will override my thoughts and the way my presentations and my wisdom, and you know, speak to your people in what you want to say today. Thank you, because we know you're here with us, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're continuing on the series of reopening the wells. Last week, Andy spoke with us. I just wanted to give us the recap of what he said, and then I'll get into mine. Then the second one, he said, this is just like a recap of what he taught us last week. We are on God's side. That's if you have given your life to Christ. In that battle, we are on God's side. Then we need to keep digging down to the source of our spiritual life. That is the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we need to forgive those that has wronged us. We need to ask for forgiveness from those that we have wronged. We need to declare aloud the truth of the Bible, especially about our identity with Christ. And then we need to renounce the stupid things that we have said in the past. And he gave us a spoiler alert that Jesus wins. Praise God. Yeah, so following up in his teaching last week, today we're going to talk about reviving the promise. So there are some questions that he brought up in the outline of what we're learning today. So what I would just do is to go straight to the point and answer those questions, and God would have spoken to you in the answers to those questions. So I'll start from the first one. He asked Isaac's response, but I compressed it in there are five questions, but I put it into four so that we wouldn't take too much time. So, Isaac's response and why he chose the course of that course of action. And what does it mean to us in TCF? Let me ask that question exactly the way he asked it, because I had to compress it to bring it to this. So, he said, Isaac's response, why he chose that course of action. He also asks, what does this all signify for TCF today? So I now compressed it to Isaac's response and why he chose that course of action, and what does it mean spiritually for us in TCF. So Isaac had to respond that way because of the covenant. When God called Abraham, Isaac was in that call. Yeah? And if the promise will be fulfilled, Isaac will have to continue where his father Abraham stopped. He's not to reinvent the wheel. He's not to do anything new. He's just to follow up, because that call, when God was talking to Abraham in Genesis 7 and verse 7, the Bible said, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. There are so many other scriptures I would want us to look at. It's saying that Isaac was also in that same covenant. That means that what Abraham did, Isaac should continue in it. And you knew that when Abraham dug that well, there was something very remarkable about Abraham's life. And it is about altars. And if we're talking about redigging the well, if we're talking about reviving the promises, we must not forget about altars. Abraham built so much altars that in his life, if you read in Genesis, you will notice that his walk, his journey to where God was taking him to was littered with altars. To the point, he built an altar in Bethel, when between Ai and Bethel, he built an altar when God encountered him. And years later, his grandchildren, Jacob, When he was on his way going from Laban and all that, he came to that point and he lay down his head to sleep on the stones and he had a dream. And in the dream, you know, when you have put down your body, your spirit man is awakened. And he actually saw something. He said, when he woke up, he said, I did not know that the Lord is in this place. But the truth of the matter is that I believe strongly that that place that he laid down his head was a portal that Abraham opened years back. It was actually an altar, one of the altars that Abraham built. And it also teaches me something. I want us to learn from it. Built altars and pitched tents. Very remarkable. He built altars and he pitched his tent. Why would they say he built it? And you know, when you build, a building is like a construction that is meant to last. But when you pitch a tent, that means it's temporary. You just pull it and move. So why was he building altars and pitching tents? He's also moving. He could have been pitching altars and pitching tents so that when he moves, he moves with his altar. Because altars are meant to last. Altars are the foundation of our life. Praise God. If you're a Christian without altar, you are at the mercy of the devil. You are at the mercy of the world. Andy talked about spiritual opposition last week. They will deal with you if you don't have an altar. Praise God. Proverbs 22:28. Do not remove the ancient landmark. I'm answering the question why Isaac responded the way that he responded and the course of action that he took. What was the course of action that he took? If you can remember from last week, I don't want to start reading it all again. Yeah, from our text, from Genesis 26. Isaac redug the wells that his father has done before, and he named it the same names that Abraham gave it. Yeah? Because scripture says we should not remove the ancient landmark. Another reason, Jeremiah 6:16, thus said the Lord, stand in the way and see, and ask of the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls, but they will say, we will not walk in it. You know, these days, the world, if you listened to what Andy said last week about spiritual opposition, the world and all that, modernism has eroded the inheritance that we had in God. Because the perfection of our faith is in what our fathers did. When I'm talking about our fathers, I'm not talking about our fleshly ancestry. I'm talking about our ancestry in God. Whenever we depart from it, you know, life, things scatters. He said, this is a prophecy that Jeremiah said, because you see, these days, the church everywhere, I've seen it in Nigeria, I'm also seeing it in the UK. I was with one young man the other day, James. I believe strongly that God sparked up a friendship between us because I told him he's met me for the first time. You know, we started flowing. We became friends. He's very young. He's maybe like in his late 20s, yeah? So he's a Christian. And in the course of our discussion, there's something that he brought up, you know, how the church is in the UK and all that. I was asking him questions about people like Smith Wigglesworth. I was asking him people like Charles Finney, and these are men that we've read about, John Knox. These are men from the UK. I was telling him about Pa Elton in Nigeria. There's one missionary that came from the UK. In fact, he's one of the fathers of Pentecostalism in Nigeria. The prophecies that he gave about our nation, those are some of the things that we're praying about today. A lot of them has come to pass. It happened that he doesn't even know about them. And he's a Christian. So where did the gap come from? How did we depart from that old path? Like I said, Isaac took that course of action because he is in the covenant and he's not supposed to leave from that. He's not supposed to pull himself away from that path. Praise God. A lot of things have crept into the church. I don't want to go there. But we need to, you know, revive our altars again and begin to pray for anything to happen. This place, I heard that it was a threshing floor, isn't it? I heard that women cried and prayed before things happened. That is the digging of the wells. That is the same thing we are supposed to do. There's nothing like it is 2023. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God, the same way he did it before. That's the same way he's doing it today. He's the God that make leg grow out. It's not for yesterday. It is still happening today. Praise God. Hebrews 11, he said, and all these things, if you go in that Hebrews, you can read it later. What he was saying there is that the perfection of the faith of our fathers is in us. Praise God. In the same way God called the foremost leaders of this assembly, TCF, you and I were included when they were called. Yes. Were included in that call to continue what God started with them. The well of revival, the dog through intercession, consecration, and their devotion to God must not be lost in our time and our generation. It is our duty to continue on that same old path. The ancient landmark must not be removed or distorted. According to Hebrews 11:40, the race that started with the fathers will only be perfected through us. This is like a relay race. The baton has been handed to us, and we must continue on that same track till the end. We have to raise successors, and it can only happen in the place of prayer. It can only happen on your altar. Praise God. The second question is, why did the Philistines stop up the wells after Abraham had died? It's simple. It's the same thing that's happening today. It's the same thing that's happening today. Yeah? They had that chance to stop up the well because Abraham died. And Isaac did not step in immediately. There was a gap. That is why the things that are happening in the church today is happening. I don't know if I'm permitted to say some things, but it's just crazy. It's just crazy. I saw a video the other time of a lady that attended a wedding of her daughter, as in is now, how do they put it, Adam and Steve. So the woman got mad and came up and dragged out that thing and threw it on the floor, mad it and say, what is this? You know, she was just shouting and all that, and the daughter was fighting with her and all that. That happened because there was a gap. There was a place where the fathers left off, showing the children how to stand in the ancient path. There was a place where God was telling the children to ask for the old path. And they said, no, we'll not stay in it, like Jeremiah said. That was where those things crept in. The Philistines represents wanderers, oppressors, and the enemies of God. Spiritual opposition that was talked about last week. This is typically the devil, his agents, and the world system that seeks to stop God's people from flourishing. They are able to stop the wells after Abraham had died because Isaac did not step in immediately. The absence of revival we are experiencing now is because we lower the standards and we do not devote enough time to prayer, studying the word, and consecration. These are the activities that ensure that the wells of spirituality is up and running. The next question is, why did Isaac give them the same names? The project is the same. He did not need to reinvent the wheel. It is the same promise. It is the same covenant. Yeah. The same encounter that bettered it in the first place. It is the ancient landmark that must not be moved. The old pathway.
Sorry, so I'm going to preach it.
Praise God. Yeah. So it's worthy to note that Isaac was consistent in the digging of the well when it came to his time. Even in the face of opposition, even in the face of quarrels, even in the face of being politically correct, even in the face of doing the right thing and the way people are doing it, the way the world is now, even in the face of modernism and all those disturbances, he did not allow all those to distract him. Consequently, we also must remain consistent, focused, and insist in digging through prayers, through fellowship, through consecration, until the well is dug again and water flows freely. Even when our strength is falling, yes, last week there's a prophecy that came to me, and you know, it's part of what God is saying. You know, sometimes you feel you're weak in the place of prayer. God said something, said he's give power to the weak, and to those who have no strength, he increases strength. That's Isaiah 40:29. In 1 Samuel 15 and 20, and he said, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. He is our strength, praise God. And finally, a word from God for us at TCF. This is, it's my encounter as I came to the UK. I shared it with Andy and Judith the other time. We were on the train going to CAP meeting. That was when I told him, and he called Judith and said, listen to what son is saying. So one of my pastor friends came to the UK, and I went to meet him. And when I met him, when we were talking, he started prophesying, actually, because he was just talking to me, but I knew it was a prophecy. He said he was talking about redigging the wells. He said, you will not need to dig new wells. You will seek the wells that have been dug before and dig them again. There will be opposition, but stay focused and dig. Once the wells are dug, God will come to you and you will see people come. There are spiritual oppositions. There are clouds that we need to take care of, that we need to deal with in the place of prayer. We must stay steadfast. The instructions is start with prayer, the prophetic will follow, and then there will be a release of souls to TCF. I want to round up with this testimony, why I'm excited. So when you have an altar, at first in Psalms 50 and verse 5, God said, gather unto me my saints, and he now defined the type of saints. Not everybody that's born again. There's a kind of Christians that he wants to gather unto him. He said, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So it's the sacrificing ones that he's talking about. Yeah? And you know that spirits don't interact normally without sacrifice. If you want to gain access to the realm of the spirit, you must bring sacrifice. It opens door. Yeah? That's what God was talking about. And one of the main sacrifices that God, actually what he's talking about there is altar. Christians that have altars. That's what he said, gather them to me. Because those are the ones that he can use. Those that have decided to set aside time to pray is a sacrifice, because prayer is a spiritual exercise. It's not a physical exercise. It's not easy to pray. That's the truth. If God doesn't help you, you cannot pray. So you say, gather. So when you start sacrificing, at first, how it starts is that you will decide that I'll pray for 30 minutes, I'll pray every 3 o'clock. It's you that did it. But once you start that altar, once you start, because every altar needs a human attendant. Once you start that altar in your heart and you start attending to it every 12 o'clock in the afternoon, every 12 o'clock midnight, you start giving, those are sacrifices. As you keep on doing it, the supervising spirit of the altar will come to you, who is the Holy Spirit. And once he comes to you, he will now start telling you what to give him. Remember, at first you decided what you will give him, but now when he appears to you, he will tell you what to give. That is when he will now wake you up in the night and say, Sister Joe will have an issue, please pray for her. That's when you have entered into a covenant relationship with God. That's what he's talking about there. Those that have altars. So yesterday night, for some time now, God has been asking me to pray for 2 hours. I've said this before, but it was really very difficult to do, considering the kind of job that I had and all that. But lately, I started doing it. I started praying even in the car, just to make sure that I make up the time. Is this scriptural? Yes. Jesus told the disciples that, pray with me at least 1 hour. That means our prayers must be timed. We must be timed. So I started making up those hours, and I noticed something, that I call it the supervising spirit of the altar, started visiting me. And yesterday night was so good. Yesterday night, I woke up to pray. I've had this issue. My wife is there, but I've actually had this. There's this point of quarrel and argument in my marriage. It's been for years now. But you know, as a man, I always feel that I'm right. So it's actually caused friction for years now. But yesterday night, as I was there, the spirit of my altar came. And he now started showing me that, no, you're wrong. He started showing me. And there, yesterday, I cried. I worshipped. It took time. I didn't want to stop. My body was weak, but inside me, I was just on and on and on and on. And I noticed that it was hours. It was around 5 a.m. that I stopped. I said, let me go to bed because I need to be in church this morning. It took me, it was just drilling me, telling me things. At a point, I started thanking him for my wife. But these are things that I was angry about. But because I had an altar, he's interested in every little thing. And in the morning when she woke up, I went to her and I started talking to her. I started telling her. And it was, you see, that the barrier was just broken. These are the kind of things that causes divorce and causes problems in marriage. But because you have an altar, the supervising spirit of your altar, the Holy Spirit will come and teach you things and tell you things that will solve the little details of your life. That was why I was very excited today. You know, we spoke and it was all good. Praise God. With that, I would like us to pray. Let's pray for TCF. Let's just take 5 minutes and pray for TCF. We're going to ask God to roll away every dark cloud, every spiritual opposition in the place of our health, in the place of our finances, any issue in our marriages. Let's ask God, in the name of Jesus, let the hand of the wicked be broken. The Bible says in Psalm 15 that the hand of the wicked will be broken, that God will search out every wrongdoing till none be found. Lord, in our fellowship, search out whatever that's not of you and break the hand of the wicked. Cause them to become, weaken them in the name of Jesus. Frustrate the token of liars. Make diviners mad in the name of Jesus. Hold them by their craftiness, that nothing will be, frustrate them, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for answers to our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God.